Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I am here with one of my favorite creators and filmmakers ever, Miss Elle Mills.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to finally meet you in real life. This is like a dream come true for me, seriously.
No.
So thank you for being here. Anyway, tell me a little bit about yourself for someone that doesn't know you for some reason. Okay. Like, give us the 411 on the Elle Mills, journey.
Okay. Hi, I'm Elle Mills. I'm Canadian, so originally from Canada.
My mom's Canadian.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. No way. Whereabouts?
She's from Ontario, like a really small area called Windsor.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Really? Do you know where that is?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but she grew up in a really small town called Leamington. Okay, yeah. That's even smaller.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Love that.
So, love Canadians.
Yes. So, I grew up there, but then moved out to LA 2019. But yeah, I've always loved making YouTube videos growing up. I grew up with YouTubers. So, as soon as I graduated high school, I decided I wanted to do that as a living. I'm really condensing the story down, mm-hmm. but I worked hard to, I kept posting and, kind of navigated, different styles of videos and stuff and ended up with this one style. I usually say, imagine if Ferris Bueller had a YouTube channel.
That's so true.
Yeah, little teen movie styles about, my family and my friends and my life. I think that's pretty much it. But now I've... Decided to take a step back from YouTube and I'm going into writing and directing. And I just released my directorial debut, my first short film.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And so basically that's it condensed. But yeah.
Fabulous. Well, congrats on the short film.
Thank you.
When is the actual, like, it's released, right?
It's released, yes.
Okay. What's the 411 on that? Where can people watch?
People can watch it at creatorplus.com/reply. So yeah, or the Creator Plus app. It's this it's a new platform that's helping digital creators kind of transition into the traditional space.
Amazing. And how did you find that?
I don't know. I feel like my team somehow we got connected, and because I made the short film without prior to meeting them, I kind of just did it out of pocket and like fundraised. And they really loved it and they wanted to release it on their platform.
Wow. So yeah, I have so many questions. First off, in regards to the Ferris Bueller reference, great movie. Love it. Is that your favorite movie?
It's like up there. It's like on my wall.
What are
like,
your favorite movies?
Oh, gosh. That's such a tough question because it's like a wide range, I feel like. Because I have my guilty pleasure films and then I have like, I don't know, the films that inspire me. Like Little Miss Sunshine, Jojo Rabbit, La La Land. I love like my guilty pleasure films like John Tucker Must Die. Have you ever seen
it's such a good
so
one.
Good so yeah. good so like I don't know, I like films that like I don't know that you're nostalgic. Perks of Being a Wallflower,
oh so good.
Yeah, so I don't know, I feel like I can never pick one. Yeah, it's my favorite. Yeah,
I feel like your style in my eyes is that edgy, artsy, like just a little bit different and original, but at the end of the day, it's about something that everyone loves or like can resonate with.
Thank you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's very sweet.
Oh no, I think it's true. I think it's just a fact. But anyway, regarding the Ferris Bueller reference, did someone tell you that and that's something you just were like, oh, you're right? Or was that an intentional thing?
It was intentional. I remember eighth grade, I watched Ferris Bueller for the first time. And I think, because then I was making videos throughout high school, but I wasn't watching. But once I, like, was, like, I had, like, 100K, like, and this is, like, kind of in the groove of it, I was, like, I was making, like, little comedy videos. And before that, I made, like, genre swap trailer videos. And I felt creatively fulfilled with the genre swap trailers because it felt like it showed my editing. And then I liked the comedy videos because it was, like, showing my family, myself, and, like, my personality. But then I started to feel not creatively fulfilled. So, like, I had a very intentional moment where I was like, okay, like, what can I, like, do to, like, feel creatively fulfilled but still show people who I am? And I love films. I've always loved films. And so I thought of Ferris Bueller and, like, that opening monologue I felt like was very – it was – he's basically doing YouTube.
He's basically vlogging in a weird way with a filmer.
Yes, exactly. And I thought that was so interesting because I didn't think anyone had done it before. And it felt very me, too, that fourth wall break, because YouTube is a fourth wall break. Mm-hmm. So that's where – that's kind of, it was intentional. And then people started to pick up on it and notice it. That's when I was like, okay. So, yeah.
Well, I think what made you stand out as a YouTuber, because the normal thing to do is hold the camera, is like all the time as hold the camera or be talking to the camera, is you did both. Like you were breaking the fourth wall and you also weren't.
Yeah.
Which made it stand out and feel like an actual film. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It was very, you definitely made a huge splash in the YouTube world.
Thank you.
So before that, who were you watching? Like who are your favorite YouTubers?
I mean, I was obsessed with O2L. Okay. I had, my guilty pleasures YouTubers, and then I, Casey Neistat. But, like, before he did the daily vlogs, it was, like, he made, like,
his films.
Yeah. Yes, I really liked that and took that.
And with his brother, right?
Yes,
With HBO, he did something with them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, in terms of, like, inspiration for my videos, Casey Neistat, but I just watched everyone, honestly. I feel like I'm friends with some of the people that I grew up with, which is crazy. Like I don't know if you know Dodie, loved her.
Yeah, I know from your videos.
Yes, so I love Dodie. I loved like Grace Helbig. Me blanking.
It's okay. I feel like it's a whole
Jen
new...
McAllister.
Oh, yeah. I love Jen, too.
Yeah.
So when you were like, I want to be a YouTuber. Did you think at all like, oh, I eventually want to be a filmmaker? Or was it just like YouTuber, YouTuber, YouTuber?
It was YouTuber. I feel like why I'm grateful for YouTube, because I feel like it opened doors for me and opportunities for me that I didn't dare to dream. You know what I mean? Like it does. Yeah. So from like my hometown, I felt like making a film felt so out of reach that I didn't even think about it. And that's why I love YouTube, because it's like, so, like anyone can start a YouTube channel. So I think it became, I mean, it was always something I hoped for. I think it became like a very serious dream while doing YouTube.
Okay. And then when did you realize like, holy shit, I can make money from this and make it? Did you always kind of know and want that? Or were you like pleasantly surprised because you were more into the creative?
YouTube? Yeah. I'd say money was never, it was more, I will be honest, I think YouTube success, like the fame, yeah, was something I think as a teenager really craved, which was interesting, because I don't think, because for a long time I didn't make money off YouTube because I used a lot of copyrighted music, because it was never my goal. My goal was
to be a famous YouTuber.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay, so when did you ever stop using copyrighted music?
No, I didn't. I just made.
So you've never made money from monetizing?
No. I think once it was the comedy videos, like so early on in my YouTube career, I was making AdSense money, but then once I like kind of went to like the more like Ferris Bueller style, I stopped making AdSense money, but then eventually made brand deals.
Okay, I was about to be like, how the hell did you make money?
No, I made all my money through sponsorships and brands.
Okay, and then were you just like fronting the cost for, because you had like big productions for YouTube videos. How much, what's like the most amount of money you spent on a video? Have you ever said that? Are you allowed to?
No, I don't think, I feel like I've probably spent, well, does my like newest one, I mean, I guess my new, like around 20 to 25,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I have I think halfway through, like, I don't know, a couple years in, my manager got me a business manager. I feel like Mr. Beast does this, from what I know. Like, I really reinvest the money.
Yeah.
And maybe more than I should. for a while, like, I was not good with my money. I just really wanted it to be the best product. So I would take spend a lot of the brand money, to just make like the best video. But
do you think you were not good with your money? Like, do you look back and actually think that, or do you look back and you're like, you know what, actually that was a smart decision because look at my success now.
I wouldn't change it. I definitely think I need to be, there's a balance, I think. Uh-huh. No regrets. I feel like I agree. Like, it's like my YouTube channel is my portfolio. Like, you know, it's an investment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess personally, I feel like I struggle with, I don't have a problem reinvesting with my business until it's who had a certain amount of money where I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready yet. I don't know if I should take that risk. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little scary. And it seems like you don't give a shit and you're just like, I gotta take the risk.
Yeah.
So like, what advice would you give to someone that's in my position where you're like, I'm like, that's nerve-wracking. Like, if I spent that much and it didn't like perform well, that would really hurt me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, I guess it's tough. I mean, I feel like I shouldn't be the person to give advice. I think my business manager would agree.
This is not financial advice.
No, it isn't. But I think if it's something that you're proud of and really believe in, like my last video I just did, like, I had a conversation with my business manager and he's like, you know, he's telling me like a certain percentage of I should be, he's doing the math for me. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I wouldn't be pushing this if I didn't believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like it's like, it's a gut feeling. So I don't know. It's tough. You just have to listen to your intuition. And like, if you really strongly believe in it and want it and is something you're going to be proud of, then I think you should. I don't know. But that's also really, I do not recommend.
No,
please. I'm like the worst. So
I feel like I admire you so much though for trusting your gut. That's a hard thing to teach yourself to do.
Uh-huh. No, yeah, it's scary, I feel like, because, I don't know. I feel like I'm taking a lot of risk recently, and I don't know, but, like, I strongly believe in it. But it's, like, scary to have, like, I don't know, because I believe in it, but it's also scary to, like, fail. So
absolutely. Yeah. But it's also, at the end of the day, a win regardless, because you do learn from your failures.
Oh, absolutely.
And, I mean, we all have fucked up plenty of times. Yeah. Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like, a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys. The pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in 4th place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and 0 sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Tell me about the inspiration behind your new short film, Reply.
So, I mean, I grew up loving 2000s teen movies. And so it was really, I think, important for me to have a queer one. And I love romance films. So that was kind of the heart of it. And it was, yeah, like, I feel like I just wanted to jump in and try to write a short film because I think for a long time I was scared to try screenwriting because I just didn't, I had never went to film school, you know, I didn't know like the little technicals and stuff, but when the pandemic hit, like we had so much free time. So I just started, I started off on a Google Doc and then I transferred it over.
To Final Draft?
Yes, yes.
I love Final Draft.
Yeah, it's so, I love Final Draft a lot. So I feel like I'm like been, like I also like through YouTube been able to meet a lot of like cool people who have like, I don't know, helped me. But I think with the first short film, I really wanted it to feel like a good transition. Cause I feel, so basically the short film is all found footage kind of style, which I felt like, cause I love home videos and that's how I started YouTube. Cause I like, I have so many home videos from growing up. And so that was kind of like a little nod to my my YouTube career. And so I feel like the inspiration came from like figuring out what's a cool structure. Because there's two storylines. There's this boy who finds these home videos from in his attic, and he like makes this film. So I'm having a hard time explaining it without giving it away too
much.
You
have to watch it. Yes. It's really fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
It's so good.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to have my Sunday flicks like group chat watch it. And
love.
I'm so excited for them to watch it because we're like all film buffs.
Oh my gosh, love. Wait, what's your favorite film?
I'm like you. I have some like silly nilly ones.
Yeah.
And then some inspiring ones. Yeah. So some of my favorite movies. Well, one of my favorites of all time is Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that?
Oh my god. Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay,
love,
it's
love.
The sports movie and it's really inspirational. It's in a time a certain time period. Anyway. I love that. I also grew up in a sports family. So it just like, I don't know, it hit home for me. I also love The Proposal.
Love.
So funny.
So good.
I remember in the theater, that was like one of the first movies that and The Pursuit of Happiness. Have you ever seen that? Love that movie. That made me feel so much just from watching something. Mm-hmm. Like I went from laughing my ass off to crying to being mad. And like, I'm not trying to like gas you up the whole time, but like you really do that in your films. Like I was just watching your YouTube videos and the film again last night, and the amount that I felt just watching it, and I was totally zoned out and nothing else. I couldn't even think of anything else, which I feel like I'm so distracted. I'm always like watching my phone while watching a movie nowadays, and your phones or your films and videos completely remove me from that. And I feel so much like I love a movie where I'm just like, I don't have any brain space to think about anything else because I'm so locked in. And I'm feeling so much from just watching something. Like, I think that's pretty crazy. It's like one real sense I'm using. It's my eyes, like my sight. And it's making me feel all these things.
I totally get what you're saying. And it means a lot to me that you know that for my film.
Oh, it's
so
crazy.
Thank you so
and
much.
I'm not a crier. I'm like, the fact that some of your YouTube videos made me cry. I'm like, I'm not a crier. So anyway, I love The Proposal. I love How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Okay, cute.
So cute. I love, let me think of what else.
I feel like we have similar movie tastes.
Yeah, I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
Such a good movie. Pretty Woman is a really good one.
It's my mom's favorite film.
So good. How do you make someone feel? Like, are you trying to portray the feeling you're feeling in your... Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, yeah.
Is that why it's so, I guess, feels so personal? Because it is?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like that's what, like, because I watched, like, a lot of, like, directors round tables and, like, writer round tables and, like, just, like, to get inspiration, I feel like, and most... It's just, like, I think... What excites me, because I feel like screenwriting is hard, but I feel like once it becomes personal and it's like finding a way to use characters in a storyline to show your perspective and show how you feel about life, is like it's like a fun puzzle, and I got a lot of fun with it. I feel like when we were making it, talking to the producers, I was very... like the first thing I said is like, I want everyone on set to be good vibes. Like I want it to be really good vibes on set, because with my YouTube videos, what I led with was like, I feel like people can really feel when something's made with love, even if subconsciously. Yeah. So I felt like if everyone.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true.
Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to make the set feel like warm and like a family.
Authentic.
Like in the summer camp kind of vibe. And because I felt like even if not consciously, subconsciously, people would be able to feel that this was made with lots of love. And I think it was received that way. So.
It's kind of like in a video, like you can tell when someone's like those channels that you're like, okay, you guys are collabing versus like you guys are actually friends.
Yes.
And I'm like a fly on the wall right now.
Yes.
And that to me is like such a huge yet subtle difference that is so true. Mm-hmm. I love that like advice of like making the actual set.
No, for sure.
Good vibes.
And then like honestly with like with the YouTube visit and just like, I don't know, when it comes to like, whenever I try to give advice to people, it's like, I feel like it's so important for, first of all, you to be your biggest fan of your own work, but also to enjoy what you're doing, because people can really subconsciously feel that. I can watch something and tell if someone...
It's forced.
Yes, exactly. If they really like hated making it or filming it versus someone who's like, you can feel passion through work. So I don't know, just like lead with passion is like what I always say.
Even in voiceovers, I can tell someone's like genuine excitement mm-hmm. versus like their telephone voice.
Yes.
Or like their YouTuber voice.
Uh-huh.
Which just says a lot too, but I think that you pick up on that after you've been like watching a shit ton of YouTube videos like I have. But anyway, in regards to Final Draft, mm-hmm. which by the way, for those of you that don't know, Final mm-hmm. Draft is like a platform for screenwriting.
Yes.
And it's very, very helpful because it helps with like the layout.
Yes.
And whatnot. But with screenwriting, because you didn't go to film school, what does your process look like? Like, I want to know, is it like, oh, I had this thing happen to me, let me write it down in my notes, and then let me perfect it in Final Draft? Like, give us the details.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this is, past year I've been writing a feature script, so this is my second script. So, I'm like, because with the short film it was a little easier because it was shorter, but with the feature there's so many, like, there's just a lot. So, I start off with writing it all on a Google Doc. And in my office, I have, like, post-it notes everywhere so I can visually see it. And I have, like, a whiteboard, and also on my mirrors I write on everything. So it's, like,
love to see a photo of that one day.
No, yeah, I'm, like, proud of it. I love organizing, so it's just, like, seeing it's so satisfying. So I start off with that and just, like, figuring out the beats. And so once I feel like the beats are, like, good and strong, then I start, like, with little scenes, I see this scene, and it then becomes connecting. I'm on the third draft of this feature right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, like, the second draft, I sent it to my agent and my manager for notes. And so they gave me one note, and now it's, like, it was a very good note because I'm rewriting, like, a lot of it. Like,
wow.
So this I feel like now it's been, like, because I have it written on Final Draft, but, like, I don't know. It's just, it's so messy. So it's just like trying to organize, I feel like. So right now there's this site called ideaflip.com, because I was like, I can't keep rewriting like these post-it notes on like physically, because it's just like there's so much, and like I want to be able to easily like switch out stuff and like
yes.
test out. I'm like, oh, would this work? And like, you know what I mean? Because it's like
on the computer.
Yes,
you're saying.
Exactly. Because it'd be easier to like, write notes and like, I don't know. So this idea of flip.com, which I just found last week.
Not sponsored.
Not at all. But like, they gave me those notes a few months ago, but I feel like I've been like kind of blocked of like, how do I like navigate this? Because it seems so daunting. So I've like put it all out on this, like it's like basically a post-it note board online. And I've been like trying to figure out like, okay, this scene needs to be changed. This scene needs to be changed. This scene can stay the same. So it's like, so it's just a lot of back and forth, basically. Long to condense it, the answer.
Okay. What do you mean, like, turning beats into scenes? For someone that doesn't understand, like, film
lingo.
Yeah,
so, a storyline, there's, like different, like, I feel like a film is, like, a rhythm. And that's how I see it. Like, there's, like, a rhythm to it. And so that's what I'm trying to perfect is, like, because I feel like my favorite kinds of films are the ones where I feel like they're, like, taking me on this, like, emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
And so it's, like, it's the perfect amount of, like, it's, like, the perfect rhythm, I guess. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out. And I feel like I've got the structure of it down. So that when I say beats to scenes, it's, like, okay, so this is when they meet. So now let's write out how they meet.
So you're writing out like the generic idea of what's going to happen.
Yes.
And then you actually write the dialogue.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
And when you're writing dialogue, do you have a character's name and face in mind?
I feel like I do this differently, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but I have to cast everyone in my head.
I know. That's normal, I feel.
No,
like.
Yeah. Because I feel like because I kind of have the structure, and then I feel like the characters develop once I have it casted in my head, and mm-hmm. see, like, how would this actor take this character, and like, and I feel like it just develops who this character is. So, yeah, and I, like, write it with, like, their voice in mind, which is, like, easier because then dialogue feels...
And their delivery. Almost.
Yes, exactly.
Do you cast... Are you casting, like, crazy people like Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, and, like, Margot Robbie? Like, are you thinking like that, or are you trying to be not more realistic, but in a way, like,
yeah,
people you know, or, like, someone you could maybe get, or uh-huh. you have access to, or...
I feel like with the feature, I've been, like, I'm not necessarily people I know, so... Because I do feel like with the feature, it would, like, obviously, like, I would have access mm-hmm. to a wider range, but I think for some of it, it's, like, casting people that I'm fans of, but aren't necessarily huge, because I've gone that route of, like, oh, like, someone, let's cast someone who's, like, gonna bring people to watch, like, bring eyes to this. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like sometimes some people who are really famous, like, almost, like, take away from it, because it's, like, yeah. you can't see them as anyone. For example,
oh gosh, I know what you're gonna say.
Harry Styles?
Yeah. Don't worry, darling.
Yes. I just feel like it's like I'm watching Harry Styles, you know what I mean?
And so people would laugh when he came on the screen. Yeah. I watched it in theaters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watched it in theaters. Way. And he would come on screen and, like, deliver this, like, important, you know,
yeah.
word of, or line of words. And, like, no one was paying attention because we were just like, that's Harry Styles.
No,
like,
yeah.
It was almost hard to pay attention to, like, what he was saying uh-huh. because we were like, why does he look like that? Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's such an interesting thought.
Uh-huh. So that's why I've thought about it, but I think I'm, like, the people I'm also fans of aren't Harry Styles level. Uh-huh. So it's, like, I'm still excited by it, and I don't feel like it takes away, because I do think, I don't know. Yeah. So I forgot what the question was. I don't know how we got here,
What's your process with writing?
I feel like I'm just kind of going with it and figuring out, because I've been in, like, kind of blocked the past few, like, past 2 months or so.
Why?
So I think it's because the one note I got is, like, it's about character development. And I now, like, so I've fully developed each of the characters. So what I've done is, like, made, like, a playlist for each character, made, like, a Pinterest board for each character.
Wow,
you know what
so
I mean?
Smart.
So, like, it's to so really develop who they are, because I have the structure down pat. Like, it's, like, the rhythm of it, like, the math of it is mm-hmm. I like. So now I have to go back and, like, really, like, start from the start to the end. Now, with that structure in the beats, basically, now really ask myself, what would this character actually do, as if they were a real person?
Mm.
And so it's just a little daunting. That's just why I needed to, like, organize the beats on, like, to physically see it, because they're, like, I don't know. It's just, like, it's just a lot. It basically feels like a lot of math, but also, like, a lot of, like, trying to, like, I want it to be therapeutic. I feel like I've been, like, finding ways to, like, bring my personal life into it. So that it feels more real, and that it feels, I don't know, like,
you know what they would choose. Almost.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. That is so interesting, because anytime I've been working with Alicia for years now, and anytime we're, like, rebranding something, or she's coming out with a new company, or I'm coming out with, like, I'm rebranding something, or, you know, coming out with a podcast or whatever it is, we always sit down and I make her write out a list similar to the Pinterest board and playlist, but uh-huh. I'll be like, what does this brand order at Starbucks?
Mm.
And we're kind of thinking, like, in the customer's uh-huh. eyes, or, like, the Making Moves demographic. So I'm like, what does, let's say her name's Making Moves. I'm like, what is Making Moves? Like, where does she go to shop? Like, what are her number one stores? And like, what is she, like, where does she get her groceries? Uh-huh. What's her favorite drink when she's, like, out on the town? Like, what's her type?
Uh-huh.
What? And, like, it's funny because I'm sure you could do it for yourself. Like, the L Mills demo. Like, what does that person order when they go out for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Or where's their suggestion? And, like, mine, for instance, is, like, she probably orders a dirty martini or, like, uh-huh. an espresso martini because she's fucking crazy. She probably wears a red lip. She probably mm-hmm. is, like, fun, or I don't know. I'm like, who I want to be watching me is, like, how I'm trying to write it down.
Yes.
But it really does help with branding mm-hmm. the character. I don't know if that's type. It sounds like that
no,
is
yes,
like what you
sure.
guys try and do with your stuff. But it is a weird process because you're like, okay, this is what I would do, but what would this person do? Yes. And yeah. you really have to get into their mindset and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, very fascinating.
I think that's really cool that you do that.
Really?
No, yeah, that's really cool. I love that.
I don't know. My mom actually taught me it because she's in advertising and marketing and all that. And so I remember she was saying like, okay, what kind of pants does she wear? What kind of shoes does she wear? Mm-hmm. What, like the most random weird questions. And it's weird when you think about it, like, what's their favorite color? Like, what's your character's favorite color? To think of, like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
yeah.
It makes sense because that things about ourselves like that define us.
Uh-huh.
And it makes sense. It's like when someone's like, oh, that would be your favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
It like helps explain to people.
No, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's really interesting when coming up with characters. I'm sure that's a challenging experience.
Yeah.
How do you name them?
Ooh, I use people in my life.
Okay.
Yeah, I use a lot of my friends' last names because I think it makes them feel real and makes them like how I feel about a friend is usually I'm like, oh, that's how I want to feel about this character. So I use like little bits. Like, for example, there's a character, one of my best friends is named Luke. So I named the character Luke, but then changed the last name. So just like taking little bits and pieces from my life. Mm-hmm. To make it feel as personal, even like the little details, I think really help.
Totally. I will say one thing that really impressed me, I like wrote it down because it stood out to me so much about your film is that, you know how you're like portraying a YouTuber kind of like with your like, oh, let me watch these old videos, uh-huh. or you were like giving an ode to yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like nowadays every Netflix film that I watch is trying to have some character that's a influencer. I'm using air quotes. That's an influencer. And I'm like, this is so cringe. That is not it, right? Uh-huh. But what hits so home about you portraying this character is like, you fucking know what an influencer or a YouTuber mm-hmm. is. And it wasn't corny. And like, it felt like it's some old white man writing, like on Netflix, it feels like some old white man writing this like, fake influencer character, and I'm like, you don't get it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know, the way that you portrayed the character in your short film, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I've never seen this so well done.
Well, thank you.
Really,
oh, thank you. No, I appreciate
like,
that.
Thank God, because I hope that moving forward, like other YouTubers and whatnot, can get opportunities like you have to create characters that portray YouTubers in a better light, almost, or just the actual behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Or feeling behind it, because I feel like whoever's writing it obviously isn't.
No,
one.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. I mean, like for me, I guess like that character's name is Sam. Sam, like he very much was like me as a kid, like me as a teenager, and uh-huh. so I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I think like it was very much about like passion and like he just like wants to like, I don't know, hopeless romantic vibes. And
yes,
so, yeah.
It was great. How long was your short film? Was it like 14?
Yeah, 14, 15-ish minutes.
How the heck do you concise such a... I mean, it literally seemed like there was months and months and months of time that had gone by. I'm like, how the heck do you make that into 14 minutes?
I feel like I really used montages.
Okay.
I really used... That's how... Because I feel like what I did was like a lot of stuff I used in my... videos, because my YouTube videos are now I can see them as like short films.
They absolutely are.
Yeah, so like I kind of used that, like what I used in how I condensed my YouTube videos to help with the short film, because I felt like with the montages, and I found that's why I tried to use the found footage in like the two storylines. So basically I don't think I've ever explained what Reply is. So there's this boy named Sam. He finds these home videos of his mom, and he's like he starts off to, he's talking to someone. He's like he's made this film basically. He's like, can you please watch till the end? And so that's I use that as a way to condense it, because it's like it's this 14-year-old boy's like short film in a way. Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing was the montages. and also the fact that it was like over the summer, so it's still condensed in a way. I don't really have a good answer to it, because I think it just kind of came naturally, because I felt like that was, from my YouTube videos, it was the easier. I was used to having it be short. Mm-hmm. I feel like this feature is a little harder for me. I almost felt like the short film was easier to condense, like have it
I
be
guess
short.
A better question is, like, how did you decide what moments were so important that they should have dialogue in them versus like what should not just be in a montage, but essentially in a montage.
I feel like it's like the meeting, like, you know, it's like the key moments, and there aren't that many. So it's them meeting, and then it's them getting to know each other. Them, like, you know, they're just like having like at least three moments of them, their relationship developing, with dialogue. You know, them, the, I guess the part where they, whatever.
Yeah. We don't want to give it away.
God, but
it's like, hard to explain.
No, but like, yeah, those are like, I guess like the main, like, I think I'm good at is,
cutting the shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm really to the point where I almost feel like my problem is I always have to add more. So I feel like I'm very, like, even with, like, writing and stuff, like, even my schoolwork, like, I've always just been very, like,
to the point.
Yeah, short and sweet.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I feel like that's something a lot of people struggle with, including myself, is I'm like, just get to the fucking point.
Uh-huh.
Like, cut. If it doesn't add to the story to progress it, it doesn't need to be in the film, mm-hmm. or in the video.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was thinking, this is more of, like, a personal question, like, that I want to know. With YouTube, there's definitely like a formula in my head when I'm filming. I'm like, okay, intro, outro, middle, and then like thumbnail. Like, that's in my head.
Yes.
I'm like, what do I need to get, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious, with making films now, like being a director, being a writer, like, what is the lens you're looking through? Like, what are those things that you need to hit with making a film? Like, what in your head is your intro, your outro, like you have to get your thumbnail, like, what are those first things that are in your head you're like, oh, I won't miss getting this?
Yeah. I haven't done much writing, directing, so I think so far it's it's the same kind of beats as like how I approach my YouTube videos. I think there's always like I always have the ending first, because I always know I'm trying to build my way up to like how I want someone to feel right when like the credits hit. Like, I'm like, what do I want that moment? Because those are my favorite moments when I watch movies.
Wow. Okay. Even with YouTube videos,
yes.
Did you think like that?
I think with YouTube videos, it would differ. It would be the title and the thumbnail.
So you would think in a YouTube video, you'd be like, you think of the title and thumbnail kind of first, because that's kind of how I think.
Yes, because it's structured like my titles were, what the video was like, but like it would have to be like something like kind of crazy. So like that would be the most important thing, was like, is this like an interesting enough film or video or story? So yeah, I think that's how it was. It's been a minute, but I think with YouTube videos there's always like a song or like a piece where I'm like, oh, and then it would revolve around like that one thing that, you know what I mean? And that's how I do with films too, where like there are like moments of like, oh, like the kiss or the, their first meeting, or like this song, I don't know. Like it's then connecting it. And that's how I did it with YouTube videos too. Like if you saw my timeline, it would be like different parts, and then it would like the ending would be connecting it all, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I mean, you have had such an awesome like road or path, and unique path as a filmmaker because of the YouTube stuff, and you've like had a lot of eyes on you. You've had a lot of opportunities come, I'm sure, from YouTube and resources and whatnot. What advice would you give an aspiring filmmaker person that doesn't have the resources that you've had just from being a massive YouTuber?
I mean, I do think, just from my personal experience, I do think YouTube is a great tool, honestly, for getting eyes. There is the traditional way of going about it. There's film school. I do think it's more about just getting experience in like starting from the ground up and like just making it. Cause I think that's my biggest thing is I feel like a lot of people talk about things, but they don't do them. Like, I feel like you just need to make.
Yeah, you're so good at executing. Yeah. I'm like, how? The amount of ideas, I'm like, oh my God, that's such a good idea. And I know it's a good idea. And it's like, and then I have to get this. And it's like, I stop. Uh-huh. How do you like push through?
I don't know. I feel like I only do ever have like one thing. Like, I don't have like, I feel like I envy people who are able to like have like multiple project ideas in mind. So like for me, it's like very like I'm an all or nothing kind of person.
So you're like, I'm working on this. I'm not going to this party. I'm not going to whatever. Yeah. Like, social life is like, it's just like full blown.
Yeah.
Tunnel vision.
Yes, tunnel vision.
I need to have tunnel vision. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll go to your party. Yeah, I'll do this. Oh my God, I'll also help you that. See you at that charity. Like, I'm like, focus on getting what you want done.
No, yeah, it's hard. I mean, I go through my phases, but I think like sometimes when it feels very, I don't know, it's like this click. That's how YouTube happened for me too. It's where it was just like this click where I was like, I'm going to make this
happen.
You're in
the zone.
Yeah, I'm in the zone. With filmmakers and I've met a lot of people in the past year who are, I think they call them the YouTube new wave, and they're doing this, like, they're like changing the game on YouTube in a way that I think is really, I really admire, and they're really taking their time with projects, and they're making films on YouTube, and I think that is a good way of getting your foot in the door. What I'm doing with my career is maybe like opening doors for people and like showing people like a new way of getting into filmmaking. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can do it on YouTube.
I agree. I kind of look at it like, I grew up in a very traditional household. So it was like, oh, you're absolutely going to college. You're absolutely mm-hmm. going to be like in healthcare or something. Like, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I thought my parents wanted for me, but they're very supportive, whatever. I feel like now I see almost the root of filmmaking kind of similar to like a professional athlete, in the sense that, you know, when like a really good football player, a really good basketball player like goes to college, but like at the end of the day, we all know it's just like for the basketball, for the football.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's going to class,
yes.
Right? But with like filmmaking, it's kind of similar. Like, you get recruited basically when you're in college, being like this really good athlete to play in the big leagues, and that becomes your career. Like, I like to think of YouTube as your opportunity to get recruited.
Yes. No, absolutely.
Like,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. It's like you literally have, you actually have more of an opportunity to get recruited than an athlete, because athletes have to, first of all, get recruited to be in college and
yeah.
get the scholarship and like do the class thing, go to the school. Like, you have so much creative freedom mm-hmm. to like really get eyes on you and recruited, that YouTube is such a fabulous platform. I still think it's the best one. I know
no.
people are like gung ho about TikTok, but
I do think YouTube, yeah, there's something special about YouTube.
It is.
I do, like, I think it's like, even like with like Shawn Mendes, and
yes.
there's like Justin Bieber, and then even Bo Burnham, like, you know, they're have it is a
they all got recruited.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, which is
that's
crazy.
So true.
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting. Have you had any run-ins with like being a female in like such a male-dominated industry? Like, do you feel any different because you're a female, or like
I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm like, I feel like the way that men talked, like, I feel like I'm like, I don't enjoy some, I don't know. It's been, I feel like I've been kind of like all in focusing on like what it is, my passions and stuff, but I've definitely like feel it, you know? And I do love, I mean, I'm so for like trying to get as many females, just girls, just like everyone to work on, like be part of the crew.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But no, yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's always in the back of my mind, I guess. But yeah, I think I'm still like kind of getting into it. But I'm sure it's something I'm going to experience more of as I get more and more into it.
I need you to direct something that Reese Witherspoon produces.
Ooh,
that would
I'd be down.
Iconic.
I would be down.
I'm pretty sure she just sold Hello Sunshine. I don't want to like say a false fact, but her production company, Hello Sunshine, I think sold for almost $1 billion.
Oh my God, no way. Yeah. Oh my God.
But I don't know if she fully gave it away, but I saw some article regarding that. I'm going to have to fact check that. But I was like, damn, this bitch is out here doing it for the females in the film industry. Uh-huh. The stuff that she's made is incredible. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite female like directors or producers?
Greta Gerwig.
Okay, iconic.
I love Greta Gerwig. I literally have a shirt that says Greta Gerwig.
have you ever met her?
No. Oh my gosh. God. I would fangirl. I can't wait for that Barbie movie. I'm so excited. I just have no clue what it would be. Like, I'm like, just so, because Noah Baumbach is a co-writer on it, and he did Marriage Story. I don't know.
I've seen that. Yeah.
So I'm just like, what's Barbie gonna be
also,
like?
I don't know. And Barbie like seems like two different planets. Uh huh. Which is, I love when people do stuff that like isn't like, same with actors. They're like a rom com actor, but then they go to horror or something. I'm like, wow, that's acting.
That's kind of what I want to do too. Like, I kind of want to be like, unpredictable with what I do. Like, I feel like
I love that.
Yeah. No. I feel like Greta Gerwig, like, I could watch her talk about, like, she's just, like, so passionate, like, and that's what I, like, want to lead with. And, like, I watch, like, her, like, panels and her, like, all her interviews and talks and just, like, I can watch her talk for hours. Just, like, that passion is, like, so infectious. It's, like, mm-hmm. contagious, you know?
You're, like, you're born to do this.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I love that feeling about mm-hmm. someone. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else?
I feel like my brain is always like, when someone asks me like, what's my favorite this, and I'm like, oh my God, my blank.
I know. It's okay. It's tough.
Do you have any?
I mean, I love Shonda Rhimes.
Who's that?
She's the girl that does Grey's Anatomy and Scandal. Okay, gotcha. And like all those. I feel like she made, what's a good example? Those shows like are so good because they're, at the end of the day, it's like through a female's lens. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just love what always happens because mm-hmm. it's like, that's how I would probably write it or that's what I wanted to happen versus there's so many movies where we grew up and the girl was like stick thin and had massive tits and was perfect and this long blonde hair or whatever. Like, it's just like, you could tell it was written by a male and like, she didn't have many lines. And she was there for the sex. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. It was just, I feel like having all these new upcoming filmmakers a part of this entertainment industry mm-hmm. has been so awesome because it's, like, it's watching an actual different film instead of the copy-paste mm-hmm. other films that have been made.
No, absolutely.
Like, it makes me go, whoa. Instead of being like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Even I'm watching White Lotus right now. Have you seen that?
I've only watched the first few episodes.
You gotta watch it. Yeah. It's crazy cool. Anyway, it's like the storylines and the character development is just like, it's throwing me for a loop. And I like that. I like that I'm like, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah. I feel like what movie you would really like. Have you ever seen Shiva Baby?
Huh.
It was female written and directed. I forget her last name, but her name's Emma Sangman. I don't know. But so good. It was her directorial debut. And it's different. It's have you seen Uncut Gems?
No. With Julia Fox. Oh my God, I need to. Uncut Gems. Yeah. I know that. She's like, jam. I've done that TikTok. That's why I know that.
But yeah, so I would say it's similar vibe to that film, but
I need to see both of those.
But it's a female-led film, and I do think it like it shows a different story that hasn't been shown before.
Going back to YouTube a little bit, I want to talk about burnout. With YouTube, I mean, you're the prime example. It's like praise to like drop everything you're doing, put your whole life and well-being into these videos, get famous, get all the accolades, and then it's like, boom, I'm actually not that happy. I'm confused. I have way too many eyes on me. My mental health is, like, going crazy. Mm-hmm. But there is something to admire about the work ethic that you put behind that drive, the grit, mm-hmm. the crazy hours that you're putting in. Like, there is something admirable about that and the consistency and, you know, all those things that lead up to being a successful YouTuber. But there's also, and I really do think that's a path to take. It's like a path we've seen before and it's still being done. Mm-hmm. But it also burns people out and it makes them, you know, it's not a good thing sometimes. So my question is, what advice do you have to someone that has that drive, has that consistency, mm-hmm. wants to go outdo themselves every video and can do that, but also doesn't want to, you know, be stuck?
Yeah.
Like, how would you go about your YouTube, I guess, career now?
I mean, I guess the only difference is because I do think, like, you know, that drive and that consistency is so important when growing, you know? It's just, like, it gets to a point where it's, like, it feels like it'll never end. Like, yeah. It's, like, I'm so exhausted. But I think delegation, I think it's working towards, like, expanding and, like, working towards, like, getting an assistant or getting like a producer, an editor, like if you want. But like, because I think the problem is the charm with YouTube is that it is like you. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it feels personal. And so I think that was something that I worried about, like with like expanding.
It's hard to give it up.
Yeah, exactly. But now that I'm like, you know, directing, it's like, it's a whole crew. It's a whole team. It's like, I feel so much better creating and less stress because it's like a team effort. It doesn't feel like all the pressure's on me. And so I do think like with burnout, I think it's tough because I think like even with the team, you're still going to feel it, but it'll feel less daunting because it's like, it doesn't feel like it's all on you. You don't feel so alone.
There is something rewarding too about showing up for someone other than yourself. Mm-hmm. Like showing up to set and wanting to perform well because I respect so and so's opinion, mm-hmm. I want to do well because I admire them, mm-hmm. versus like, obviously it's the most rewarding thing doing that for yourself, but over and over again it's almost stress inducing versus rewarding.
Yes.
Whereas like I find that I like to perform well for others and it feels really rewarding for me, at least.
No, maybe, yeah,
I don't know if that's like less stressful, like helping when you're on set versus being by yourself.
No, yeah. I feel like it's like, I don't know, because I feel like being on set, it's also like, I don't know, we're all doing this. I don't know. It feels like empowering that we're all doing this together and we're all creating something really beautiful together. And I do, yeah, like showing up for other people and like, I don't know, like if there's a problem, it's like we all have each other's backs and we're going to solve this problem together. Like, I don't know. And that's just something I didn't have with YouTube. It felt like I have this problem and I have to fix this problem, and it just like, and then it started off every week and then it became every 2 weeks and then it became every month and it just became, you know, too much. Because I think another thing with YouTube though is like, there's just like, versus like filmmaking, there's just like this saturation online. It's like, it feels like you're competing a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you can so easily compare yourself to others, and I think that contributes to the burnout of like, it contributes to this pressure of like, oh, I'm not getting as many views as this person, but I'm working as
hard. Or my shit's better, like, yeah. Even sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
So, I don't know. Burnout's like such a topic that I'm like, it's like, because I feel like you can experience burnout. Like, it's not just so specific to YouTube, too, you know? It's like...
Oh, absolutely.
Like, any profession, really. Mm-hmm.
I just think it comes quicker with YouTube.
No, for sure.
Because for sure. It is, like, making a high-production video even once a week is insane.
Yes. No, yeah. I like, there's some people where I'm, like, I watch now, and I'm like, how are they doing this every week? I don't know. I feel like my brain's like fried now. I feel like I look back at like my start of my YouTube channel, and I honestly am like, how did I have the energy to do that? Like, it was this like drive, this passion of like, I don't know, I wanted it so bad. But I'm like, I feel like if I were to start YouTube again today, maybe actually, if I had like had it stripped away from me, like I would have it. But like, I don't know. It's It's a lot of energy.
I think there is something, though, when you don't have, when you had nothing.
Yeah.
And you're like, what if I could? Mm-hmm. Like, having that versus, like, it's way more fun in that position.
Yes.
Not when you're actually in it.
Yes.
But looking back, it's more fun being in that position than trying to keep up with your last thing.
Yes.
That already, you know, you have eyes now. It's uh-huh. that pressure. Versus before, you're like, if so-and-so saw this, that'd be insane.
Yes.
No, like, yeah. It's way different.
Uh-huh. No, I feel like starting off feels so much more hopeful. It's like the opportunities are endless, but like,
which they are.
Yeah, exactly. But keeping it up feels like, oh my God, it feels like I could lose this. I don't know.
How could I do better?
Yes.
I even think about that sometimes walking into rooms. So like when I used to walk into, let's say, an award show mm-hmm. or something, I didn't know anyone. So like the possibility of meeting one person was like insane and so exciting
uh-huh.
versus when you have eyes on you and knowing that like, oh, I've met them before, like I've seen them, blah, blah, blah. And then overanalyzing like what you're going to say uh-huh. versus like you don't even think about that when you don't know anyone because you're like, I'll just be so happy if I got the opportunity.
Yes.
But it's a whole weird, like, different lens when you walk into a room and you, like, sort of know people or your internet friends and you're like, oh, I don't want them to think I'm weird.
Yes.
I've met them before or, like, uh-huh. They're friends of friends and, like, someone told me, like, one person talked shit about them and the other person said they were great. Like, how do I go about this?
Uh-huh.
What if I want a photo as a fan but I don't want them to think I'm using them? Like, it's so weird.
Yes. No, yeah. That's honestly something I've never thought about, but, like, yes, I agree. Like,
it's, like, weird.
No, it is super strange.
It's so much easier to meet people when, like, they don't know who you are.
Yes.
And, like, you're just, like, you're nothing to them. Uh-huh. You're just, like, okay.
Blank slate. Like, clean slate. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like, it's less pressure.
Uh-huh.
But it sounds weird complaining about it.
I know,
too,
yeah.
Because you're like, it's at the end of the day, it's ridiculous. It's uh-huh. like, go up and say hi. But people in this industry are fucking weird.
Yes.
And like, sometimes their reaction makes my next reaction weird.
Uh-huh. No, yes. I feel that's why I kind of avoid, I feel like I've become, because of that, I've become more introverted. I feel like I don't go out as often because I felt like that anxiety. I was like, it's just not worth it. I don't know. I have everything I go to. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like, once you've been in it for a bit, it's like, I don't know.
Well,
it's interesting.
It is weird too, because it's like, oh, I've been such a fan of you for so long. But some people don't take that well. Like some people are weird about it.
Uh-huh.
I personally love it. Like uh-huh. either when I'm going up to someone, I think it's not weird when I'm like, by the way, I love your work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. But some people are like, oh, they're such a fan.
Yeah,
and then it's like,
yeah.
I don't want them to think I'm weird now.
No, yeah. I feel like I can like try to pick up on people's energies before I'm like, I don't know.
But
yeah.
Anyway, I think that same with you, similar with YouTube, outdoing yourself. It's harder to outdo yourself versus like wondering what the heck will happen having no eyes on you.
Yes.
I think.
Yes, no,
anyway.
Absolutely.
Okay, last two questions. What do you think makes a great storyteller?
Ooh.
What are the qualities?
I mean, I think it, in terms of the end product, I feel like if they're able to just evoke emotion in any way, but also like evoke emotion that was like, I don't know, if I can, what I love when I'm like watching someone is like, if they, I can feel them in it. Like they are able to make it personal and heartfelt. Like it's like, I feel, like almost like I feel like their heartbeat in it. You know what I mean? I think that makes a good storyteller. I think someone who can keep. I personally love stories who can keep, have found the perfect rhythm. Like, keep you engaged from start to finish because my attention span is really short. And so like whenever I find a project or something that keeps me engaged the entire time, I'm like, oh wow, they've like perfected that,
like the cadence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say those are like the two biggest things, like just for it to be feel personal and entertaining, to be honest, because I do think storytelling is about entertaining. Mm-hmm. You know,
totally. I'm sorry, I have one more that I thought of. What do you wish you were better at in regards to filmmaking?
Ooh, I mean, I wish I...
Because you're so... In my eyes, like, you're so good at everything. So I'm like, what do you wish you were better at? Give us the tea.
I think, like, in terms of, like, actual, like, making it, like, yeah. the, or, like, the art, like on set and stuff, like, would that count?
No, just, like, in regards to being a filmmaker, like, do you wish you were better at writing? Do you wish you were better at communicating with, you know, people on set when you don't like things? Or, like, you know what I mean?
I think I was, like, I think it's a confidence thing. I think, like, but I think that's going to come through experience, because I do think I, like, I'm still, like, insecure about not knowing, like, what exactly to do. Like, I still need to be guided, because I haven't had, like, I've been on, like, 3 sets, so I do think I just need to more confidence,
just practice, I
think. Exactly. So I do think, like, that's something I'll eventually be better at, the more projects I do, and I think with writing, I don't know, I'm still I definitely think I can improve, but I think that's just going to come with age too. Because I feel like my what with Reply versus with the feature I'm writing now, I feel like I've grown up a lot, and I feel like that reflects in my writing. So I'm excited to see the projects that will continue, like the future films I write, because I do think they will just get better the more life experience I get.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, confidence and more experience.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. And then last question is, what are you doing to make moves right now in your life? It could be personal, it could be work related, whatever you want.
Okay. I've been all in on this feature. So I really 2023. I'm knock on wood. I'm gonna make that happen.
Hell yeah. Like, is all of Ottawa just like in awe of you?
I don't know. I haven't been back in a bit, but...
Oh, my God. You have to do a screening of, like, your future feature in Ottawa.
Oh, no, yes. I'm so excited. I so badly want my feature to be in a theater, and, like, my dream to, like, go to my hometown and, like, I don't know, get to go to the theater I grew up going to and watch my own film there.
Oh, my God. You should have a creator... like viewing, and you should invite a bunch of your creator friends, and then you could do like a mini panel of other creators, and you could talk about like burnout and pursuing bigger projects, blah blah blah, and then we could watch your film after.
Okay, yes,
that would be. I would eat that shit up.
I love
like something like, you know how YouTube Summit used to do those things. That would be sick.
No, yes,
you did like a mini one, and then we watched your film.
I
after.
Love that. Yes,
that'd be crazy cool.
I'm down.
Anyway, so where can everyone watch the film and everything?
Oh,
I know you already said, but. Let's reiterate.
You can watch Reply at creatorplus.com/reply or the Creator Plus app.
It's super easy. I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous. It's the best 14 minutes you'll watch. Oh,
thank you.
Of your time. And you used film, actual
yes,
film.
Yes, yes.
I was
film.
Like, jeez, Louise. No, yeah. Was that not so like scary?
I mean, my DP, not to add more time, but
okay.
My DP who like is now like, I feel like my work soulmate, Kasusha, she specializes in film, and she like really guided me. Like she like took, I didn't feel stressed at all because she had it down pat. But yeah, she killed it. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I was like blown away. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. Anyway, go follow Elle Mills everywhere and subscribe to her YouTube channel because she just uploaded an amazing burnout related video, which was very touching, and she spent a lot of money on it.
So go watch it.
And is there anywhere else people should follow you or anything?
I'm probably most active on Instagram, so
amazing.
Instagram at l.mills.
Amazing. And be sure to make someone's day this week. Love you guys.
Love that.
Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.